similar to Christians' response to Halloween. Not sure. Seems a bit harmless, fun. Kids go around in funny costumes asking for lollies, perhaps doing a practical joke, trick or treating. Your Halloween celebrations are very big in the USA. In sales, second only to Christmas. In Australia and New Zealand, it's lesser, but can I tell you, it's gaining momentum. I noticed an email a couple of years ago from some Lombards, which I now have struck off my email listing, advertising Halloween. The heading in the email was, "Haunt Your Home." And this past couple of weeks, if you haven't done, I've been driving around and I've been to shops and so on, and I've seen various Halloween items hanging everywhere now. And the shops are everywhere. Even I went to Woolworths and there's a queue of things for the Halloween there. So how should we respond? What should we do with Halloween? We need to realise that the culture in which we live in just today in Australia challenges our Christian lifestyle daily. As Christians, we often face tough choices of how do we engage the culture now as believers, living in light of the gospel and the truth of God's word. As I wrote in your news sheet, as Christians, we are now free. We're not under law, we're under grace. We are free. But as with all things, we are to incorporate the principles of Romans 14. We cannot allow our own convictions about a holiday or certain days or events to cause division in the body of Christ. Nor can we allow our freedom to cause others to stumble in their faith. Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 23. Hopefully this is going to work. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. So this morning, looking at the message I've titled Trick or Treat of Darkness, I want to ask the question to you and to me, what should we do with Halloween? I hope we can examine the question and, if anything, give us something additional to think about as we seek to strengthen our relationship with the Lord. Let me pray, especially this morning. Father, as we do come this morning and we are confronted this week with things that sometimes confuse us and we're not quite certain about, Lord, please help us as we spend a bit of time this morning looking, thinking about, discovering some other things, that, Lord, you'll just help us from your scripture to make an appropriate response for ourselves, for us as a church, for us as families. So, Lord, we ask for your leading and guidance this morning. We ask in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. When we hear the word Halloween, most people these days link it to events which are held on the 31st October, which will be Thursday this week, Thursday. Halloween is actually broken into two parts, the actual word. The first part is a hallow, an old English word which can means a holy or a holy, holy person. Een is a shortening down of evening or eve. So adding them together, it means the holy eve or the evening before something special. That's what the Halloween, as you look back to it, really has behind it. We know another special day that is an eve, a Christmas Eve. We know what Christmas Eve is because it's the day before Christmas. So what's the holy eve then? It was the evening before a specific date, specifically November the 1st. You will find in some of your calendars marked November the 1st as All Saints Day. You may find it linked in there. But prior to thinking about All Saints Day, I just want to look at some of the practices and rituals that surround Halloween now. And they can be traced back to the Druid Festival of the Dead, originating sometime around 100 AD in Western Europe. It was commonly referred to as the Samhain Festival, which was a Celtic celebration that focused on the death. The Celts in Western Europe believed that ghosts and other spiritual beings visited on Samhain Eve, being the 31st of October. They also believed that the barrier between the physical world and the spirit world was at its weakest at that date. And so the ancient Druids, who were a priestly class of the Celts, believed that Samhain, the Lord of Death, gathered souls of the evil dead who had been condemned to enter the bodies of animals and good people's souls and were reincarnated as humans. The Druids would then offer sacrifices, prayers and gifts to Samhain, intending to lighten the punishment of the evil dead. The Druids would even pray for and to the dead in Roman temples, trying to contact them through the spirit world. This is where we get our seances from just today. Even today, I can tell you, I'm aware, people on this Thursday will be praying to the dead. And they'll be praying against us as Christians. There's occults up in the Dandenongs. There's witches, cacovens in the Dandenongs. And in the far part of the Yarra Valley, will be specifically meeting and praying to the dead and to evil spirits and against us as believers. They believe, as they have from here, this is the most time when the barrier between that is the least that it's ever been. That's what they work from and through. The Celts, hoping for a visit from their departed loved ones, would actually set a place at the table for them to prepare a feast. They also set treats outside their house for wandering spirits. To ward off evil spirits from their household, the Celts were known to set carved pumpkins or turnips in the front of their doors. If they went out at night, they wore costumes so that if they encountered an evil spirit, they would be mistaken for an evil spirit themselves and thus be protected from evil trouble. Sound familiar? Let me flick this one here. Jenny, can you flick that for me? All Saints, yeah, beautiful. No, forward, not back. One more. Beautiful. However, over the next few hundred years, the Romans successfully conquered most of the Celtic lands. Then during the next 400 years, Samhain was emerged with two Roman holidays, Feralia, a day when Romans commemorated their dead, typically at the end of October, and secondly, Pomona, a day of honouring the Roman goddess of fruit and trees. Then in 609 AD, Pope Boniface IV established the Catholic feast of All Martyrs' Day in honour of the early Roman martyrs. And this feast was expanded by Pope Gregory III to include all saints and is still practised today on November the 1st as All Saints' Day. Some of the Halloween traditions can be seen in the festival surrounding All Saints' Day. There were traditions of ringing bells for the souls in purgatory. Poor people, mostly children, would go out from their house and they would souling. They would get soul cakes in exchange for prayers for departed loved ones. People even wore costumes in order to protect themselves from wandering souls of the dead. Thanks, Jenny. But things started to change with the Protestant Reformation in the 16th and 17th centuries. Protestant Christians reacted to the Catholic days like All Saints' Day, primarily over Catholic belief considered areas such as purgatory. Actually, purgatory derives its name from the idea that there still remains some sin or impurity that needs to be purged or cleansed before one is allowed to enter into heaven. It's therefore considered a holding place for souls not quite fit for heaven, but not so quite bad to go to hell. The teaching and beliefs, can I tell you, are not supported in the canon of Scripture. Protestant Christians, including ourselves as Baptists, as we read Scripture, still hold that after death, no number of prayers or indulgences, that is, payments made on behalf of departed loved ones, could speed up their time in purgatory. And it was actually on the 31st of October, 1517, that Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses on the door of the castle church at Wittenberg in a bold challenge against the unbiblical practices of medieval Roman papacy. Well, you might be thinking, whoa, that's a lot of history. So what should we do with Halloween? Thanks, Jenny. Firstly, and Jenny's going to flick up Ephesians 6:12. We need to remind ourselves one thing from Ephesians 6:12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principles, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. In our Christian journeys, there is and will be a battle. As I mentioned earlier, we need to realise that the culture we live in will challenge our Christian lifestyle daily. As Christians, we often face tough choices of how do we engage and be involved in the culture which we're in, but also reminding ourselves the truth of Jesus Christ and the guidance of his word. And as we look at some of the events linked to Halloween, they can seem harmless. But unlike Christmas, which was also picked, I've got to tell you, as a to actually Christianize another pagan festival, if you haven't worked it out, we don't actually know when Christmas Day is. We don't know when Jesus was born. We just picked the day, 25th of December, because it was a festival of the winter solstice, and we wanted to make it Christianized, so we picked that day. We don't actually know, so we've done that. But the issue is Halloween has drawn on many of the symbols of the past. Jenny's going to put up there. The jack-o'-lanterns or pumpkin. I saw a guy walking out of Woolworths the other day with his pumpkin. And I know that's going. He wasn't going to eat it. It was spotted. Were carved out and a candle put in them to try to frighten away evil spirits from the home, or they were shown sympathy and submission to the evil spirits. Skulls, skeletons, corpses were part of celebrating the rituals of the dead. Things like black cats were considered reincarnated evil souls that had the ability to divine or see into the future. Bats and owls were said to have power to communicate with the dead since they were reincarnated evil spirits. Ghosts, demons and goblins were thought of by the Celtics to have special freedom to travel amongst the living and to frighten them into submission to their own will. As we think about many of these symbols linked with Halloween, Paul reminds us in Ephesians 5:11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. We find in Romans 13:12, Paul tells us, let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armour of light. And Pam read out just before from Ephesians 6, when Paul talks about, put on the whole armour of God. Be careful, be guarded, be ready, be prepared. Have these things there all the time. I think the real danger in being involved in the various aspects of Halloween, especially all the symbols and encouraging children to be involved, is teaching children that Satan and the things of the dark world are just fun. But we need to be aware that as Revelation 12:9 tells us, the devil, Satan, deceives the whole world and is quite happy for people to think that it's all just fun, just a trick or a treat. Next Sunday, the Lord's laid this on my heart, and you're going to get another earful, but never mind. And I've titled next week's one, Victory Over Darkness. I want us to think about who are we in Christ? What does it mean to have the Lord Jesus Christ and be able to speak in his name especially? And also we'll look at some of the things that we may have been involved with before becoming a believer that, can I tell you, sometimes can have impact on us now. It's so important that as Christians we need to remind ourselves that Satan is real. And he and his cohort are still active in this world. Yes, under God's sovereign authority, but there is still a battle. He continues to confuse people, deceive people. He tries to create confusion in their hearts of believers. Even, I would suggest, with things like Halloween. As we look at some of the history behind Halloween, we can see that modern day Halloween is a combination of pagan and secret elements just put together. But we also know that in recent decades, a renewed interest in old pagan beliefs has blossomed. The result is that Halloween today has become strongly associated with occult and preoccupation with the dead. To influence the scripture has always warned us against. See, Satan is not a joke. He is real. Now, the Bible clearly teaches that the Lord is sovereign. Some people, and I speak to some people, they get this picture that, some people, there's this cosmic battle between God and Satan. No. God is sovereign. He created all. He created Satan. He is a created being, but he's a fallen being. And can I tell you, I met someone the other day. Satan is one angel. He's not everywhere all the time. It's not like that. He has a number of angels, a cohort with him, but he's one. Don't try to find Satan in every place. He's not like God. Don't get confused. Read your scriptures. He was a created angel and he is a fallen angel. And a third of the angels fell with him. He's one angel, not all over all the time. Please remember that one. And as Christians, as believers, we need to keep some of the warnings of Scripture. And we find in 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. In the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrine of demons. Why is that there for? To teach us. Be careful what you are doing. Be very careful. What are you going to do with Halloween? It's an individual choice. I can only show you some things. It's an individual choice. As we mentioned at the beginning, in Christ we are free. We're under grace. We're not under law. But not all things are good for us to do. As I mentioned in the news sheet, I know that in the USA, so some churches on the 31st, on Thursday, will actually hold a harvest party. And they will dress up at the church, but in nice things. And that's how they try to do that sort of thing. I know of other people who, when they hand out the candy and cane, they actually hand out a tract as well with them. I know some people who turn the lights off, lock the doors and pretend that they're not home. That's how they cope with it. You've all got to cope it in some sort of way and work it. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? But I hope thinking about all, hang on a second, I didn't realise this. I didn't realise some of these things in the past. I was even warned this morning. I had a different graphic up on that very first screen. I had a different one up. But as I was looking this morning, I thought, well, I don't think I want to put that up. God was really saying to me, don't put that graphic up, mate. Because other people could see things into it that shouldn't be there. So I was even challenged this morning about, hang on, watch what you're doing. Just be careful what you are doing. Let me leave you with three sort of Bible verses, which I think are ones for us to think about especially. Romans 4:19. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things where we can edify one another. Ephesians 6:13. Therefore, take up the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Therefore, take up the whole, your armour. Whose armour? The armour of God. You stand in his power, not in your power. Philippians 4:8. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable or praiseworthy, think on these things, not on those things. A couple of years ago, I read of a pastor who was struggling with the whole thing of Halloween. He said, I turned to the Word of God to find comfort and guidance for myself. And the Lord led me to Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15. I've shortened it down a little bit. Now, therefore, Joshua writes, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's a challenge. It's a challenge for us all. We live in a world which challenges us every single day with what we do and how we do it. Jesus never said it would be easy. If he was persecuted and hounded against, why shouldn't we think that we will as well? Because we're in the kingdom. But we've got to work out, how do we react? How do we act? In love and grace. Sometimes we've got to say no. Sorry about that one. A card. When we have kids come round to our door, we just say, sorry. We actually don't hand out your lollies, but sort of just be safe as you walk around. You've got to work at yourself. Because people could be knocking on your door on Thursday. What are you going to do? Have you thought about it? Have you thought about it in light of what is happening here now? Lombards encourages that we haunt our houses. Joshua encourages us to have houses that serve the Lord. Can I pray? And then we're going to sing a song in a moment, a song which is called Lord, Reign in Me. But let me pray first. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can read your word, think about your word, think about the past, think about things going on, think about things which are now, and to try to work through, well, how should we be involved in this? What should we be involved? How could we be involved? And Father, Halloween is one of those things we've just got to work through and think through. But Father, as I see some of the things, some of the symbols of Halloween, Father, I see darkness. I see things of evil. And Father, I know you say, be very careful. Don't get anywhere near that stuff. But Lord, it's a challenge for us all. What do we do? How do we act? How do we react? Please help us. It's going to be a challenge this week on Thursday. May we know your grace and your love and your wisdom through your Holy Spirit of the words that we say and how we say it. We ask that in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen. As the musos come up the side, we're going to sing a song. We have sung it a couple of times since I've been here. finish with that reading from Joshua 24:14. If I encourage you to read it when you get home. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Father, help us to serve you well. Help us in the challenges of life. Help us in the challenges of family. Help us in the challenges of every day. Father, we especially ask for this week, a festival coming up which we have perhaps been confused with in the past, but now just wondering, please help us. Bless us, Lord, and help us along the way. And we ask that in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. And all his people said, Amen.